kids on the playground and they're playing a game, and whether it be playing house or cops and robbers or whatever. And it's about getting to that place of play.
Learning to be more like a kid again can help you in your daily life. And news on the salmon virus. It's the KHNS local news. I'm Tara Bicknell. That much and more up next. The Haynesboro is hiring several new consultants to help with various projects. The Assembly gave Haynesboro Manager Mark Ernest the okay at Tuesday's regular meeting to enter into non-exclusive agreements on an as-needed basis with Haynes residents Darcy Kalbeck, James Kallenberg, Burl Sheldon, and Agnubet Consulting to assist with work like project coordination, management, administration, and grant writing. Kalbeck has already been helping with borough activities such as the junk vehicle solution and accompanied the mayor and manager on a recent trip to Whitehorse to meet with officials there. The resolution carried 4-1 with Scott Rossman opposed, saying there weren't enough details on pay rates. Other assembly members were glad for the extra help but asked for more notice and information on future borough employment contracts. Scientists and fishermen are following news of a deadly fish virus found in British Columbia salmon. It's a scary situation, but it may not be as bad as it sounds, at least for now. And it's not a threat to people who eat salmon. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Infectious salmon anemia has badly damaged populations of farmed Atlantic salmon. So when scientists found the virus in a pair of wild Pacific sockeyes, they were worried. Should they be?
It's not a time to panic or overreact. I think some folks have been a little bit overly concerned about it.
That's Ted Myers, chief pathologist for Alaska's Department of Fish and Game. If confirmed, he says the virus found in two central British Columbia fish needs to be watched and understood. That's because it's a deadly disease that affects the blood and internal organs of salmon.
Basically, they develop an anemia and they hemorrhage. And it can kill market-sized fish.
The virus has badly damaged captive Atlantic stocks in Chile, Norway, Scotland, and eastern Canada. Pacific salmon are different, and Myers says several thousand earlier tests by the British Columbia government showed no presence in wild fish. But he warns this disease adapts.
It's possible that some of these viruses could mutate to potentially infect Pacific salmon, but that would probably occur under situations where there's a selective pressure, like a hatchery situation or a pen farming situation or something of that nature.
That's what happened to farmed Pacific cohos in Chile in the late 1990s. Infectious salmon anemia spread quickly through cohos raised in net pens along with Atlantic salmon and rainbow trout.
We shouldn't underestimate the power of viruses.
Dale Kelly heads up the Alaska Trollers Association. The Juneau-based group is among commercial fishing organizations that want action.
It's a pretty scary situation for us all, and we want to put it in context. But we would just really like to continue to urge the Canadians and other fisheries professionals to, make sure that they're doing as much as fast as they can.
Some politicians agree. Alaska Senators Lisa Murkowski and Mark Begich have joined Washington Senator Maria Cantwell to ask Congress to require U.S. agencies to become involved. They want an emergency research effort to calculate how much of a threat the virus may pose. Canadian officials have stepped up their interest, but they say they will decide on an action plan after they confirm identification of the virus. Kelly says the initial diagnosis came from a lab that specializes in infectious salmon anemia, so she asks, why wait?
What we've seen out of Canada is a press release that says, if our tests a few weeks down the road come up with a finding of ISA, then we'll bring people together and then we'll talk about what to do. And it seems like there is probably some information they could be gathering up, before winter hardens everything up, to at least get them a boost on sorting out the extent of the problem.
Those concerned assume the virus came from Atlantic salmon in British Columbia fish farms. It appears to be the same European strain found in Norway and Scotland. The fear is close quarters could quickly spread the illness, which could further spread it to wild stocks. Those fish could then carry the disease up the coast into southeast and other Alaska waters. Other pathogens attack Pacific salmon, and some are widespread. One, known as the IHN virus, also causes hemorrhaging and organ failure. State pathologist Ted Myers says it's common in Alaska sockeyes. It's adapted to live in Chinook, Chums, and Steelhead down south, but in this state, it hasn't crossed those boundaries.
We're always concerned about this virus potentially mutating and being able to infect other species, but so far our hatchery programs have been following what we call, we have a sockeye salmon culture procedure, which really mitigates or reduces the risk from this virus.
He says the hatchery procedure has been in place for close to 30 years, and it's been successful. The salmon viruses pose no threat to people, but some fisheries advocates worry consumers won't understand that, and word of the latest problem could hurt salmon sales. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Improv acting group is coming to Haines to offer workshops next week with the help of local group Lynn Canal Community Players. Improvisation is the practice of making or creating something original in the moment. And it's not just for actors, says one of the group members, Nick Condon.
I mean, that's definitely one thing, because especially in auditions, it's about making positive choices or strong choices and listening. That's one of the biggest things that I think, not just on the stage and listening to each other in an improv scene, but that I think people can have just in life is listening to each other and yes ending, which is one of the concepts that we kind of instill in the improv class, where it's saying yes to something that's given to you and adding a gift onto that as well.
Condon leads Denali Drama Group in Talkeetna, along with movement theater performer Gino Jardee and former Upper Lincoln Canal resident Amanda Randles. He's coming to Haines to lead a week of evening workshops in improv acting.
They're really for anybody. We're doing middle school, high school, and adults, so it can be for anyone that's had some theater experience, some improv experience, or really no stage experience at all. Some of the workshops I've done in the past, we would do, for example, corporate workshops for companies like Rollerblade or 3M or bigger companies like that, where we take the people that are normally used to working in offices and just kind of loosen them up a little bit and get used to listening and yes ending and communicating on a stronger level, and that how that relates to their workplace, whereas this will be more everyday life and then also how it relates to performing improv on the stage.
Some say learning improv can result in the invention of new thought patterns that are useful in many forms of communication and expression, be it artistic or academic. Speaking on its own requires improvisation. That's what keeps it from sounding like a rehearsed speech. And it's invaluable to aspiring actors and groups like LCCP and Denali Drama.
I started taking over that group about 5 years ago after I moved up from Minneapolis, where I'd been performing locally and doing touring theater for, well, quite a long time. I've been doing theater and improv for over half my life at this point, and with the main focus on improv, mostly long-form improv and sketch comedy.
The group gets here on Halloween and will run workshops November 1st through 4th, each one tailored to a different age group.
I know we have the DDS students, which I believe is the high school group we're going to work with. So because they already have a little bit of a stronger skill set in performance and in stage and in that sort of area, we'll be able to work on specific types of improv or specific improv structures. So that'll be a little bit more geared towards performance, whereas some of the middle school stuff might be just geared towards focusing and listening to each other, and then maybe doing some group improv type stuff. And then with the adults, that will probably depend on the skill level of the people that we get. It might make just be within the first day, we'll probably know where people lie and what people want to do, and we can sort of tailor it to the group as we go.
With this trip, the group is working towards a goal of eventually touring around the region. Condon and Jardee have worked together for a decade, including touring with a children's theater for 5 years and working with Denali Drama for the last 5 years.
He has a strong improv background. He also has a strong background in movement theater. He's studied with the Jun Loon out of Minneapolis, which they have a base in French clown and mime, but then how that relates not just to performing it as clown, but how that relates to performing it in more traditional theater settings as well. So he's going to be doing a little bit of movement focus for those that are interested in that. And then Amanda Randles, I think a lot of people across the state know her from her radio background in journalism. So she's also been doing theater, and she did theater in college, and she did some directing. And then she's been working with us as well and doing some improv and a lot of more traditional stage stuff as well. And throughout the workshop sessions that we have in leading up to performance, if we create some improv scenes with the students that can be fleshed out into scenes, she's going to show how you can take and write from improv.
The improv workshops are evenings, November 1st through 4th in Haines. That's Tuesday through Friday, with an end-of-the-week performance open to anyone on Saturday. The set of classes are $30 for kids and $50 for adults. They run Tuesday through Friday at the following times and places. Middle schoolers, 3:15 to 5 p.m. High schoolers, 5 to 6:30 p.m. in the middle school open area. And adults, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Chilcutt Center for the Arts. To enroll, call Annette Smith at 766-2708. Again, Nick Condon with Denali Drama.
I think maybe one of the biggest hesitations for people in taking an improv class or trying to think that they can maybe do it themselves is saying to themselves, oh, I could never do that, or that's something that they can watch other people do. But it's really something that I think just about anybody can do. And so it's really just about getting people to the place where it's become playing again. You know, if you watch kids on the playground and they're playing a game, and whether it be playing house or cops and robbers or whatever, it's about getting to that place of play in your head again where you kind of stop thinking and just have fun.
Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.